Round two, take two.
He doesn't do anything?
No, it's a, sorry, Carl.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
And I don't want any third-rate rent-a-thug who couldn't cut it as a cop in Chicago bringing him to L.A. on some bullshit local charge.
Hippies and yippies alike fill the streets, waging a war of peace against Mayor Daley's thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah, they got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
Thug life.
Did you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you? Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.
To it, son. You know, VJ, in order to get the microphone...
Well, how about you get off your great fat anus?
You walked right into it, son. All right, so let me explain how this show's going to work. First off, hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the Film Thugs Movie Show. I am Jim.
I am Clarkson.
And this is VJ.
And VJ is back with us, of course, as you can tell, because he just said hello. Wow, that was the worst fucking segue in the history of radio.
You are terrible.
I'm bad. So today we are doing something. This is something we've talked about doing for fucking ages, which is what's called Wopsgiving. It began, Clarkson, tell us the genesis of where this started.
It started off as a...
Shaka bra!
Exactly, as a holiday called Wangsgiving. So, just to show, we offend all equally.
Wang.
It's like that Slayer song.
I'll show you. Is there a Slayer song called Wang?
No.
Rain and Wang?
Wang! No, that's...
Rain and Wang!
It's true, Sammy.
Gloria Gaynor?
Gloria Gaynor.
From a lacerated sky.
Raining Wang.
Dead Skid Wang. I can't leave this now.
South of Wang.
Wang Society.
God Wangs us all.
I was referring to the God Hates Us All album.
Wang institutionalized.
That's good.
Go on.
Covered that song, Guilty of Being Wang.
Shaka bra!
Anyway, it was a holiday my friend Mark Clapp and I created where we just basically got a bunch of Hong Kong action movies and American action movies, split it up, and ordered a bunch of Chinese food in Tsing Tao and just made a whole day of it.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have much going on.
Yeah. Like you didn't, Like you do, like you don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
So anyway, now we're going to... Yes.
Wow, that was way too loud.
We are going to watch Godfather 1, Godfather 2, and Goodfellas.
And
I'm making a whole mess of Italian food.
Now, here's why the real genesis of this occurred. I mentioned it, and VJ said...
What?
Have you seen Godfather?
I have not.
Have you seen Godfather 2?
I have not.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Also 0 for 3.
So VJ hadn't seen any of these. So I realized... Perfect opportunity to not just have two people who are seasoned in these. I mean, how many times have you seen Godfather? I've seen it at least 12 times, minimum.
Easily, in the double digits.
Yeah, easily in the double digits. Same thing with Godfather 2. Oh, yeah. Goodfellas, that's a movie that literally no matter what time it's on, I'll watch it. Like, to give you an idea, VJ, I showed it to Harry Johnson.
Okay.
Honest to God,
the
his
third.
Name.
The third. Harry Johnson, the
Harry
third.
Harry Bernard Johnson. Harry BJ, the third.
BJ. Yeah. I did not know the middle
name.
Oh,
yeah,
name.
Yeah. Hand to Christ.
Shaka, bro!
That's his name. But we... I showed up
and
at his place.
You don't want to smell his dick, no. I can imagine.
No.
I showed up at his place one night to do my laundry because it was at a time when I was living in that horrible suicide apartment.
Yeah.
The fun house
the
garage.
The Wacky Shack.
Yeah, the Wacky Shack. I was living in this furnished garage apartment. It was just the worst time of my life.
I was living in a furnished garage at the same time, but mine was a little bit nicer.
Yours was the goddamn Hilton compared to what I was. Mine was
move
uneven.
On into suicide falls.
Everyone, when I showed it, I'm like, isn't it great? It's got an oven and this. And everyone was like, I remember, I think even Courtney said, I think we're worried about Jim living there. I mean, he's not worried about Jim.
I feel like we can turn it into the Green Acres theme somehow.
Yeah. Suicide. But I showed up at Harry's and I was like, just let's watch this movie. And he was like, yeah, I've never seen it. And I put it in and literally within 5 minutes, he was like, we're in, period. Like, fuck it. We're watching this all the way through. It's Goodfellas is one of those movies that does that to you, and I'm looking forward to hearing his reaction. So here's how this show is going to work. We're recording a little thing here where there's some anticipation, letting you know what's happening. We're going to watch Godfather 1, come back and talk. Godfather 2, come back and talk. Goodfellas, and then...
We wrap it up.
Wrap it all up.
You mean we're not just going to have an 11-hour-long podcast?
God, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, we are.
But the way that the reason we chose this breakdown is once you get in the Godfather rhythm... You kind of need to continue, And Goodfellas is so, like, after watching that much movie, to sit down and watch a third is tough. But so a movie like Goodfellas, really, it's so engaging, it's so good that you'll want to finish it. You'll want to continue on with it. So that's the breakdown that we're going to go with. We are drinking Peroni, we are drinking Moretti, we're drinking Blue Moon, we've got some Coppola Rosso wine, Clarkson's making a big red sauce.
Yeah, because Scots know how to do it.
Yeah, we got a lot of antipasti, and you know what we need to do with this? I think that we need to make a pact that we're going to giada all of the Italian words we say today.
I have to say mozzarella now?
No, you have to say mozzarella.
Mozzarella!
Yeah, fucking
a stereotype.
Well, it's like, because if any of you have ever watched Giada De Laurentiis, first off,
her name is Giada.
Giada. Damn.
Hey, if anybody can pass for Italian here, it's me.
Yeah, that's true.
No, what possible country are you speaking of?
Look, I've got the olive skin.
No,
olive.
I've got the dark
olive. Hair. What have you ever seen? A fucking olive.
I have.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, you can. I
don't think you know where Italy is.
Look, it's a boot, okay? It goes with Michigan.
It's just digging deeper.
Yeah, it's not working, VJ.
I own boots. That's not.
So what? I have Doc Martens. Does that mean that I'm Italian?
That means you're a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's true. I am a scientist. For any of you who have ever watched Everyday Italian or any of the Giada De Laurentiis shows. She does this great thing where she won't say an Italian word like a fucking proper American. She's always like, so we're going to make some spaghetti and have a little bit of parmigiane. And she does that weird little right before she says any of it. So it's like, you know, I have some nice prosciutto.
And she looks a lot, you know, like Natalie Portman, but with the Cheshire Cat's mouth.
And, like
a five head.
It takes up her entire face.
Like a busty Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love the costume. You know, the costumer on that show has the easiest job ever because it's like, well, how deep does the neckline plunge?
He's on loan from Nigella's.
We're going to call it Mariana Trench. Mariana Trench.
Mariana Trench. We are prepping some.
I have been over to cut the mozzarella.
Some fresh mozzarella and pepperoni with some antipasti while we're drinking some Coppola.
Show the nice people the goods.
Now we are about to inundate. I would say VJ's a virgin, but that has too much.
It's the initiate.
Yeah, the initiate. Because the whole virgin thing just sounds like Rocky Horror Picture Show, except we're not watching something awful.
Eventually, we'll do the same. We'll have a episode of The Initiate with myself watching Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
And after that, we'll start a couple of pointless wars.
Yeah. There we go. And we need to actually, the next time McRib becomes available, we need to do a Back to the Future show because he has not seen Back to the Future 3.
I basically haven't seen most of them.
Holy shit.
I've seen parts of all of them.
Yeah, I've never seen Back to the Future 3 or had a McRib.
So
it's true. The fat man hasn't had one.
Yeah, so I think next time McRib comes back, we're making the statement now. We're going to do a Back to the Future. Yeah, we're going
to
do a Back to the Future marathon with McRibs.
Sounds good.
Hopefully by then we actually have hoverboards because it'll be like 2014.
Yeah.
2013.
Who knows?
We should have a hoverboard.
It could be later this year. You don't even know, man. You don't even want to fucking know. No. But we will make that happen.
Shaka, bro!
There's some things man are not meant to know.
Some things are mysterious for a reason. But now that we've said this, you guys are prepped. You're kind of in our mindset.
And I have recently been placed in charge of garbage.
I just like playing drops because I like playing drops. I don't have to have reason or That's rhyme. They don't have to connect. No. It's just all of a sudden I want to say...
Go look, there's an elephant. Quick, let's drain its blood to paint my boathouse.
Greatest line ever. So we are going to let you guys go for the time being. We will be back for you in the blink of an eye.
We'll be right back.
It's like relativistic time dilation.
Shut up.
I just ruined it for everyone.
Shut the fuck up, VJ. Of you goddamn motherfucker.
You have killed the sanctity of my home, Stern.
How dare you? wait, VJ. By your response, I'm assuming that you have never seen the movie Private Parts.
Correct. My cousin is
huge. You are the motherfucking Antichrist! You are the motherfucking Antichrist!
And you need to remember that. Okay,
all your little bits. Give me a 2 minute duration.
We need to do another goddamn initiates for Private Parts because he hasn't seen this. It's the initiates series.
Yes.
I like that. Okay, so we literally, 15 seconds ago, finished watching Godfather for VJ's first time. VJ, immediate response. What do you think?
The power behind everything Don Corleone says, Vito, and Michael, without having to show it.
That,
subtlety.
Oh, awesome. Especially Vito. I mean, Vito has that, this is this, period. And everyone who?
Everyone!
Nice. I was thinking more like...
No, I...
Because that's everybody.
Everyone!
No, that's him at a metal show.
But if you're going... you're going for Leon, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes. I thought it was everybody, not everyone.
It's everyone.
Okay.
Give me
it
everyone.
Has more power.
Everyone. Everyone! Now, what's weird...
Every single person.
No.
I'm tired of this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Here's what's weird. When you look at, first off, the casting on this was almost totally taken away from Coppola. I mean, they were looking at everyone from Laurence Olivier to Anthony Quinn to play Vito. What's his name? Burt Reynolds was up for one of the parts, too. Oh, God, it would have been
Yeah, he played the reporter and gets his camera smashed. He was up for that.
Yeah.
Other than that, he has zero place in this film.
There is. Now, here's what I want to talk about, having just seen it. Robert De Niro did an audition for Sonny that Coppola called the best audition he'd ever seen, but he wasn't right for it. Because, as he said, and I totally agree with this, Sonny has to be this mix of totally terrifying while at the same time being completely relatable, and you have to love Sonny more than you're afraid of him. You have to see Sonny as being kind of crazy, but at the same time, like, yeah, I'm totally... But De Niro had this edge where it's like, I am more afraid of him than anything else.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Sonny, VJ, in this? Could you imagine if Sonny had been just abjectly terrifying?
Then I guess you wouldn't have had a lot with people saying, oh, well, you know, make sure the temper doesn't flare up. It's just like, you can't stop the temper.
Exactly. Yeah. So it would have turned Sonny from somebody who had a fuse that could go off to...
The Hulk.
Exactly, the Hulk. The atom bomb where it's like, fuck. Carlo wouldn't have hit Connie had De Niro played Sonny.
It had to be not anger you're afraid of. It had to be anger that you may be a little afraid of, but also know it's an Achilles heel.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a weakness. And it's a little, like I said when we were watching it, it shows just a little bit of ineptitude.
Yeah.
Whereas De Niro wouldn't come off as inept. He'd come off as a dangerous son of a bitch. And it also completely block off any chance of Michael Corleone coming in and rising to the occasion.
Exactly, yeah. Because like
that with cold calculating the transformation from, you know, young soldier, younger brother who wants to be legit to cold calculating master boss of the organization.
But I mean with Sonny, if he were still alive, if it was like De Niro's character, do you see him making that transition from the hothead to... there we go.
No, not the way the character's written.
Talk right into the tip like it's a penis.
A robot penis?
Yes, a robot penis, yeah.
No, not the way it's written. It would just come off as awkward.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't this guy going for it?
Yeah, looks like well, a guy cause, who would. Yeah, because it had De Niro played Sonny, I think everyone would have been too shit scared of him to even... Like, they would have done... Like, the Turk would have tried to keep Vito healthy so that he wouldn't have to deal with Sonny. Because Sonny...
This guy's a schmuck and an idiot, talks out of turn, doesn't really know, led around by his emotions, not his brain. I can deal with this asshole.
De Niro would have brought too much of an Irish to it. And by that, I mean... And for those who don't know, like, the Italian has a very focused kind of... The Irish is, and the best I've ever heard on this, and I'm going to take a step back here. I was talking to my niece once, and I was talking about Clarkson as a friend of mine. And I told him, I was like, you know, no, this guy, and I showed a picture of us together, you know, I was like, yeah, this guy, he's my best friend. And, you know, if you were ever in trouble and you couldn't get me, if I couldn't come and help, he would come and help you. And she was like, so if William, which is, for those who don't know, her little brother, was stuck on a swing that was too high, and I said to her, I was like, yeah, he'd come and help. And I told Clarkson this, and I was like, yeah, and she said, if William was stuck on a swing that was too high, and Clarkson's response was, then this is the guy who would burn down the factory that built the swing set and kill the designer and his entire family. Huh. That's what I mean by the Irish. The Irish rage is a scorched earth. We're going to destroy everyone who looks like you.
It's called love, people. Kind of...
Is there any other word?
All that is spelled L-O-V-E. So there.
Oh my God, you just...
Feel something less than utter rage for that? Then I guess you don't love so much.
Exactly, yeah. Then what you have is like. You felt deeply... In like with that person.
Like.
You have that lukewarm kind of nancing about love that only the Finnish have.
The fucking Finnish? That's right. We are coming staunchly out against Finnish love.
Yeah, move to Finland. Fucking swing designer.
Holy shit. Oh, quick update. Hold on. This just got handed to me. Hold on. We have been drinking.
No, I've only had a few ales.
I've balls.
Balls.
We want Mead. The finest wines.
Whoa.
Have you seen With Nail and I?
No, I've only heard of it.
Have you seen Long Good Friday?
No.
Have you seen The Departed?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen The Departed. So With Nail and I... What was the other one I mentioned?
Long Good Friday.
Long Good Friday. What would be a good third one to add into that for the next initiative?
Not Michael Collins.
Oh, shit, no.
Have you seen In the Name of the Father?
No, but on the St. Patrick's Day episode.
I showed him the ending.
Yeah.
Because he had to see that to be able to do the ending. How to succeed in business without really... How to succeed in advertising? That's another... Oh, that's another Richard E. Grant one.
Oh, no. Wait.
I think we might have an initiates for the next 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Without the food to cock well, about with.
Right.
It'll all be delivery or DiGiorno.
You know, they have milk. You have cookies now, so you can
get cookies
because of stoner design
and wings.
Maybe we can get some.
Wings.
Maybe we can get a pizza with a hot dog crust. Because Domino's was like, okay, here's the choices, guys. Right, we're doing a real quick. Okay, everyone, stop. Loosen out your instrument. We're doing a bit of role play here. Domino's Pizza Board of Directors. I'm going to play the part of guy with ideas. No, and we're going to see where it goes. Hello, board.
Brilliant,
of directors.
Do it.
Board of directors.
I've got an idea
on how to fix our problems.
I am Mr. Directors.
It's one of two things. One, we can either make our pizzas actually taste good.
You're saying there's a problem with the pizza.
No,
not yet. No,
not at
no,
all.
Not now.
We can either make our pizzas taste really good, or we can put a really cheap hot dog in the crust.
A cheap hot dog?
Cheap.
Do it. Wait. Can we get brownies with that?
And soda.
Do it.
Is there icing on the brownies?
We can make it happen.
That's the genius.
How about instead of brownies, we give them a piece of cardboard covered in chocolate and frosting?
Mm-hmm.
And they could scrape it off and eat it like fucking peasants.
Approved, approved, approved.
Done.
I need
Here's a bag of money for me to go swimming.
Dun, 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 dun.
Shit. Hold on. Wait. God damn it. Here's a pile of money for me to dance in.
That was really loud.
That was really loud, yeah. I have it on something that I can't control the volume of.
There you go. That's nice. Yeah, yeah.
It's much more appropriate to the, theme.
Well, how about you get off your great fat anus?
There we go. So,
which you'll have after you eat Domino's dog crust.
Juice. And make sure you follow it up with an ad campaign that tells people how bad our pizza is first.
Right.
Juice.
So, all in all, VJ, for you being, how old are you now?
27.
You are, wow, you are so much older than when I met you.
Happens.
8 years ago?
Something like
that. Back when I met you, you were only 18. Tell me, VJ, what happened?
Time. Time, Jim.
It's a cruel mystery.
I've seen things you saw 10 years ago.
Each day's a gift.
So, I want you to tell me, as a 27-year-old man, seeing Godfather for the first time, what does it feel like to be so neglected by your parents that you haven't seen Godfather by this point?
Really, it's just a failing of American society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. I blame you.
I blame you. And I can't blame your father because I love your dad.
He is pretty
What's funny is I joked with VJ. The first time I met his dad, I said, I have a feeling it's going to be me and your dad sitting around talking while you get us both whiskey. VJ, what happened the first time I met your dad?
Y'all sat around talking and I got y'all whiskey.
Yeah. I love VJ's dad. It was like the first time I met your dad. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the kitchen and I'm like, no, I'm not going to act like some high school kid. I'm going to talk to him like a person because, and I stand by this and I will forever. Clarkson's dad, Dudley Campbell, is the first person who ever talked to me like I was an adult. And so I love your father till the day I die for that, period. That's why at your wedding, your dad was kind of sitting there, and I'm like, I'm going to buy your dad a drink. And you were like, he's not going to know what you did. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm buying your dad a drink. And whenever I handed it, sorry, Mr. Campbell, I'd like you. He's like, well, thank you. And he went right back
to sleep.
Right back to sleep. But I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I bought Dudley Campbell a goddamn drink at his son's wedding, and that's all I care about.
That's how he talks to people.
There was an open bar.
Open bar, dude. Like,
open bar.
Tucker Germs.
Farva. Like, I'm going to do this. But now let's step back to the Godfather here. Somehow.
Shaka, bro!
Now, VJ, what was your... Let's talk about the film itself. As a man whose parents let him down entirely, what was your reaction to the first time you saw Godfather? Immediate reaction.
After your first immediate reaction.
Yes. tell me about it as an abandoned child.
Why do I have the voice?
You're in the bathroom.
Why wouldn't you?
I am in the bathroom. Okay. I haven't seen a movie like that before where the family is that important thing, right? The closest thing I can keep coming back to is like Leon, where, you know, it's not even her family. She doesn't give a shit.
Uh-huh.
And she comes, you know, she goes to Jean Reno's character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And nothing before mattered. But here it's like all family.
Right.
They treat you right.
Mm-hmm.
When you haven't disrespected them.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people not technically in the family can come and ask the favors. They could do that on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Right. Uh-huh.
And there's this, it's just all about respect and trust. And that's really cool to have. Everybody is so composed about that. You know, mm-hmm. Everything is, all the violence, all the deception, it's expected.
Yeah.
But you play your part right and everything mm-hmm. goes.
Everything falls within a framework.
Yeah.
Yeah. How great was Luca Brasi with sitting there, Don Corleone, thank you for inviting me on this day of your daughter's wedding, and may their first child be... And then when he meets him and he fucks it up, yeah. Thank you for inviting me to your daughter's wedding on this
wedding.
The day of
your daughter's wedding.
And may their first child... And it's that ham-fisted, but you see that he's not his father, but the desire to impress him mm-hmm. is so great that it's like, this is how I have to approach you. And not even like it's a conscious choice.
And he wasn't there to ask for a favor.
No.
He was there to give money for the, you know.
He was not money. He was there to give respect and say, on this day, I pledge my undying loyalty. That means at this moment, for the rest of my life, I belong to the Corleone family. And granted,
about a week and a half.
The rest of his life ended up
honor
being,
bound.
Yeah,
he exactly. didn't know that.
Oh, shit. And now you're gone. And you bring in Virgil, Virgil the Turk Salazzo, which, and this is something that to this day resonates, that maybe back in the day was kind of starting to surface, where it's like, no, they view the gambling and the whores and all that as being harmless. Even though to me, the prostitution, I know too much about it from research and shit that I've looked into, where it's like, if you say prostitution in the manner in which it exists now is a victimless crime, you're a fucking... victimizing asshole, and you need
it's
to go to hell.
It's empowering the women. She uses her body as she wants.
Like, and that pimp who pressures the 15-year-old into it. That yes,
rape them to break them. Just part of the business.
Exactly. That's why when I look at the whole pimp thing. Hold on, VJ has to go to the bathroom now. That's where you're doing from now.
Oh.
Sorry, you're in the bathroom for a while.
This is horribly private.
It really is.
We're watching you. Do your business.
We are watching you.
You're like the dog.
We are. Except we don't have to look you in the eye.
Why did you come look at me in the eye?
VJ.
This was a smart show.
No, it wasn't.
When
did you've been
that...
listening to?
It was smart whenever I'm on it.
Really? Oh. Is that what we're telling ourselves?
Needle scratch.
Oh, man, I need a DJ stop, don't I?
No, you don't.
be like, rit. Yeah, I've been shown...
Shaka, bro!
I can't be trusted with drops. But no, when it comes to the whole victimless crime thing, I'm like, if you want to gamble, I don't give a shit. You want to do drugs, whatever. But at the time, it was viewed as an evil, like... And if you look at what's come from it now, yeah, drugs, shit. They upped that game across the board so much that the police couldn't look at it as just, oh, it's a thing that's happening. No, that's dangerous shit that we have to deal with.
And it was good that they did. The mafia finally did work out the narcotics trade. It gave a really good blueprint for the CIA.
Yeah, yeah.
And AIDS research.
Oh, sure.
Development.
But now, what I love about The Godfather Part 1 is there's that quote, I don't even know where it comes from, and Clarkson will be able to jump on immediately, but what is it worth for a man to win the world but lose his soul?
The Bible?
I don't read Italian books.
No.
No. The Bible, yes, from the Bible.
Bible, chapter Bible, first Bible?
Yes.
It's written by Dr. Bibliotheca.
Written by Dr. Jesus Von Bible Smith.
Right.
Yes.
I know this stuff. I believe Timothy 2:11 says women that shouldn't talk.
No, that's Jim chapter 1, verse 1.
Oh. In Jim Bibliotheca?
Gymnioteca. It's like Manteca, but with books.
Manteca.
Machete. What I love is anyone...
Haven't heard back.
Anyone, neither have I. Anyone is a vegan who's like, no, I'm just going to eat some tortillas.
Oh.
Do it.
Good luck to that, sir.
And let them see you do it.
Yeah, no, don't let it happen now. What was I?
I don't believe in eating meat.
Really? No, I believe it.
I do it all the time.
Well, it was like a roommate
of
mine.
I'll provide video evidence.
Like a roommate of mine when I was at UT is like, I don't see race. Like, I don't see Asian. I was like, well, you should look around because they're fucking everywhere. But, which is true. If you go to UT, it's like, indeed,
Jim,
sir.
Jim, I'm Asian. I take offense.
You are Mexican and African American, and we all know it.
It's true.
It's true, Sammy.
VJ, that black guy?
Yeah, that, you know that guy, black guy, VJ? God.
It's true, Sammy.
It is. What the fuck was I talking about? The Godfather. Okay. Gain a soul, but lose. How amazing is the baptism scene? When he's standing there, do you reject Satan? And you just see people getting fucking wasted left and right. And all his empty promises. Mo Green, who is the basis of, who's based on Bugsy Siegel, gets shot in the fucking eye.
Yep.
And the first actor that I interred in the Hall of Fame was who?
John Cazale.
Jim Cazale. I interred. Well, he's dead, dude. Show some fucking... Back to the bathroom for VJ.
So you
yes.
Exhumed him and then reinterred him.
I can't hear you. You're in the bathroom. You now you're somewhere else.
Where am I?
You're beyond. Mm-hmm. So, Cazale as Fredo. Now, how I maintain my favorite line from the first Godfather is, Fredo, you're my old brother and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again, ever. And it's just that quiet, that calm. But Fredo, it's basically like, shut the fuck up and don't fucking speak unless someone fucking tells you to speak.
You are a dummy, dumb, dumb, dumb.
Dummy. Now chew on that. Dumb stuff.
Right.
And you can take that to the bank.
Yes. You could put that in your pipe and smoke it, Mr. Corleone.
So there.
I love Fredo. I think he is the most humanizing factor of the whole Godfather saga.
But humans don't normally have foreheads that big.
Shit. No one, aliens don't, like those fucking gray aliens from Fire in the Sky are like, whoa.
No. Jada De Laurentiis does. She's like Brett from the Silent Earth.
She's more mouth than forehead.
Bullshit. You have eyes?
You mean,
they normally stay below her neck. Mind.
She's like Brat from This Island Earth.
Stop. Everyone, shut up. Jada has a head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Said, normally my eyes are focused below the neck.
Well, she has a neck? All I see is giant scooping.
The neck is connected to.
Crevasses of cleavage.
Clevage.
I believe you mean see. Décolletage.
Spaghetti.
Because I'm French.
Décolletage. Zut alors.
Batroc the Leaper. Zut alors.
Zut alors. You got to do that French thing again that you did while we were.
the day you sex quit. Majestic 12 took my mother out prisoner.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Shit. So. Bottom line, Godfather is one of those movies that it's amazing, period. I mean, it's so, it pulls you in. Even though we had a lot of shit going on while watching it, yes? Yeah. It was still, it sucked you in. And at the end, that separation between him and Kay, when she just looks in and the door gets pushed closed, like, no, you will never be part of it. Yeah, you vowed to share your life with this man, but you will never be part of what's happening right here. See, if it were more dramatic, it would be like, you will never
be part of this, Kay.
It's more of a reveal sound effect.
Really?
Someone's got to get sent back to the bathroom.
He likes it in there.
He really does. Vijay?
Well, how about you get off your great fat anus?
Been drinking a lot.
You have.
You don't buy it, you rent it.
Except the alcohol is yours forever on your gut. I'm still working off beer that I drank back in the 90s. So, I got to get rid of that because it's giving me an echo. Shit, I can't deal with that. So, we've just watched Godfather 1. Now we are going to stop recording, eat some spaghetti and some, what do you call the sauce?
Sunday gravy.
Sunday gravy. And eat a little mozzarella and some other shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Watch Godfather Part 2.
Due.
Next time you hear us, we are going to be talking about Godfather Part 2, which will be the first time Vijay has ever seen it. So thank you for listening, and we will be back before y'all know it. But that, just for anyone who doesn't know, is how you end a fucking movie.
If you don't know, why are you listening to this?
Yeah, if you don't know. So, VJ, we're going to...
Shaka, bro!
We're going to jump right in with your interpretation as the first time you've seen both Godfather. And here's the thing. Right now, it is, 11 o'clock? We've been rolling this for about 8 hours now.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've got it in us to do Goodfellas tonight.
No.
VJ, do you have it in you?
I have been drinking a fair amount.
See, I forget that I'm stupid when it comes to this sort of thing, because I'm like, fuck, I'll watch two more. Shit. I'm Peanut the Highlander when it comes
That's
to this
right,
shit,
you
apparently.
Are. And you smoke cigarettes.
And I smoke cigarettes, but whatever. My parents are divorced.
Every frame of celluloid, I feel it.
I feel it. It's all in me. I am drinking Birra Amoretti.
It's the beer in Italy.
It's the beer in Italy. Yeah. It put the beer in Italy. Oh.
Is it the official beer of summer?
It's the official beer of Italy.
Italian summer.
Which means it smells like sewage and garlic. It doesn't have sleeves. It wears really bright pink jeans and sandals without socks. welcome to Venice. Don Rickles says the greatest thing. Going to Venice. Oh, yeah, I want to spend the whole day looking at my wife going, is that you or me? It's perfect. It's dead on, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty gross city.
Oh, God, yeah. So, Godfather 2, I want your immediate reaction. Compare Godfather 2 to Godfather 1. What's your immediate thoughts?
It was a little more confusing to me to follow the flashbacks at times.
Right,
but
right.
Because I'm a slow brain.
Yeah,
but
he is.
I really liked, obviously, the intentional superposition of how Vito sets up,
mm-hmm.
which matches in time with Michael basically taking over everything ever.
Right. Well, it's weird because it's Vito rising while Michael falls.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as much a fall in the beginning.
Right.
You know, it just seemed like he was handling business mm-hmm. just like the end of the first movie.
Right.
But the fall wasn't as clear to me until later in the movie because I tripped up on a couple of plot points.
Right. But when it hit near the end, like when... What I said to Clarkson a minute before it happened, I was like, because I was recording another podcast while this was going on. Came back in and I was like, hey, did they...
You slut.
Did he close the door yet? And Clarkson's like, no. It's about a second away.
Yeah.
Sat down. When he closes the door on Kay, mm-hmm. how fucking amazing is that moment? Because it is so final in the way that it's handled.
Yeah, she sits there waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you don't it doesn't stay on her screaming from the other side
yeah.
or just you just hear a little bit of a vocalization.
And
you hear her outside just a little bit.
Just barely.
Well, and the way that she's outside, it's not like she goes, "No, Michael, not down." It's a oh and then bam, like I don't fucking care what your protest is. We're done with you. We're done. We are fucking done.
No.
Period.
And I don't really understand why she's so torn up about it when she was the one who comes to him and is like, I didn't want your new baby.
I didn't want your new baby. I didn't want to be part of this. Everything about your family disgusts me, and we are done.
Hey, Michael, why the long face?
Hey.
High five, man.
You're acting like garbage. Human garbage.
Yeah, that... It's weird because this...
You reap what you sow.
Exactly. This is where, honestly, more than anything else, I think that sequels fall into this, not necessity necessarily, but how can the story move forward? And at this moment, where can Michael's story move that's more compelling? And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any areas it can move to that are compelling. Right. I mean,
there are places to move it, but nowhere anyone wants to see
exactly.
it go.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is more of him sitting and yeah. not having the people yeah. he used to love.
Well,
yeah,
if you look at it, him just sitting there at the end.
Think of a non-compelling storyline, a lot of useless crap, and Andy Garcia.
Yeah. And Andy Garcia was actually a highlight of that film. His performance was quite good, I thought.
Didn't say good or bad. I just said Andy Garcia.
He is an attractive Cuban man playing an Italian. No one really got upset about that. You
Joey
know?
Zaza.
Hey.
Hey, Sean Connery can be a Egyptian.
He's not Joey Zaza. I'm aware. Anyone out there.
What were you saying there?
If Sean Connery can be Egyptian,
hey,
Andy Garcia can be Italian.
Wait, well, hold on. Let's stop there. Sean Connery can be Egyptian. Mr. Connery can be whatever he wants, VJ. And I'll thank you to take the sass out your voice when you mention Mr. Connery.
He is still the chief metallurgist for King Charles V of Spain.
And I'm at your service.
At your service.
God damn, that movie's so rad. What's funny, watching that with you, when I noticed the burning cross, I was like, what the fuck is that? And then when I watched it with you, I was like, how many times have you watched this? Oh, 100. Have you ever noticed the burning cross? And you were like, what the fuck?
What other hidden Klansman?
When the shit did that happen? It's amazing.
I'll still never understand the Marine with the Uzi. has it in the front seat.
Well, yeah.
You got to be ready.
Okay, Marine, this is the real deal.
What if the Iran-Contra affair comes here?
That was before Iran-Contra.
Damn it.
This was like mid-80s. This was...
Yeah.
This was like Reagan's second term, so it was like, shit, yeah, I'm going to carry an Uzi with me. Fucking Ronnie will be like, hey, man wants to carry an Uzi. Who do you say can't carry an Uzi?
I mean, you never know. In Bad Dudes, President Ronnie was kidnapped by ninjas. And you had to be a bad enough dude to rescue the president.
Was it basically Double Dragon where they covered the chick at the beginning with Ronald Reagan and he gets punched in the stomach until he's unconscious and they carry him off?
It doesn't really come out the same way. It's a green screen and some sort of FBI-ish, CIA-ish just head. And then it types out, President Ronnie has been... In the NES one, they just say the president.
The president.
They don't say
Is that the
Ronnie.
One with the two... No, I'm thinking of Ikari Warrior. Never mind.
No, this was like a fighting game, a little bit like Double Dragon.
I see.
Not as good.
But without the woman abuse.
Right. Yeah.
And the boss of the first level is Karnov, if you've ever heard of him. He had his own game.
Karnov.
Ah, yeah, the bald one that
the big
shoots
fatty.
The fireballs.
Big fatty. That's exactly it.
That's the game that for about 10 years I thought was called Crazy Ivan.
That makes
no goddamn sense.
Karnov beats you. That's the odd ethnic guy. Yeah. In Russia, Karnov is game. I didn't say it was good. Fuck you. I've been drinking. Yeah.
Pacino.
So speaking of Pacino, what I love about the contrasting the two Godfathers together to uneasily segue.
That's what
we
do.
It was just like Pacino. Now, Fredo, here's what you need to understand. What are you doing around here? And that was my bad echoey Al Pacino. As bad as he got having all those people killed during the baptism, does any of it even come close to him having his fucking brother murdered?
No.
I mean, you want to talk about him taking it that step beyond? Because even though he, la besa de tutto besa, when he kisses him on the mouth and it's that, oh, fuck.
You know you're dead.
He doesn't know when. He's not going to talk to him. I'm not stupid like everyone says. I'm smart. I'm smart, Michael. I'm smart.
Which I want respect. Could also be a line from Job in Arrested Development.
It could. Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. The guy in the $8,000 pants is going to hold the door for it. Come on. It's my job. Tricks are what whores do for money, Michael. I'm an illusionist.
I almost didn't understand how Fredo seems so, calm.
Fredo?
Fredo. Sorry, Fredo shot
it's,
first.
It's short for Alfredo. Fredo shot.
Now, Fredo, how he was so calm when Michael was basically soft interrogating him when he's lying back in that chair. Right. I'm like, I expected the guy to be tied up to the chair. I didn't realize he was just, oh, yeah, they made me work for them, basically.
Well, the thing with
they didn't tell me anything.
The thing with Fredo is that it's just that. Fredo's dumb.
Yes. I mean, remember in the first one, what happened when his father was being shot?
Butterfingers.
Butterfingers. He drank. Crispy, crunchy outside. Yeah. Ice cream inside. Butterfingers. I'm so sorry, VJ.
Over the line.
I'm about to get kicked out of VJ's house.
Hey, unless you do high-intensity defense drills, it's easy to drop the gun.
But when he drops it, it was just like, oh. But then what does he do? He sits there crying, holding his dad. What would Sonny have done in that instance? Sonny would have been fucking
something. What would probably moved his injured father a lot.
Yeah.
Come on, I can put you in funny shapes and stuff.
C-spine, I don't know what that means.
Whatever.
What would Michael have done?
Taking care of his dad.
Yeah, Michael would have stood there, took care of his dad, and then...
How do I get you to a professional physician and then the quickness?
Everyone who was involved...
And then everyone dies.
...would be dead. Their families, dead. The pets, dead.
The houses burned down. I'm over to piss on the ashes.
Yeah, that's totally... But Sonny... I mean, you know, Fredo is such... It's weird because he's the only heart in the movies. To me, he's the only member of that family who has heart. Everyone else...
But yet he's still willing to go against...
But big dumb heart, because...
Yeah, yeah.
He gets to Cuba. He's already betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up with the $2 million. They go out for drinks. He's sitting there. He spends 5 minutes, maybe, with his brother at a table in the middle of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And has a little moment. And he's frustrated. Why didn't we spend more time like this?
Banana daiquiri.
And that's all he can do. He's so stupid. Yeah. Even his big dumb heart is dumb.
Well, and then... Like,
oh, well, why didn't we just talk some more and hang out a little bit more and have more cocktails? And then I wouldn't have, you know, just sold you out.
Well, no, but let's even take it further. The fact that they're around having a fun time, and what does he say? Oh, yeah, last time Johnny Ola took us here.
No, that's like, later on. I'm talking about the two of them.
Oh, just the two of them.
In the afternoon. He's like, ah, shucks.
But then the fact
that... And then later, he's just about drunk and stupid.
Yeah,
the dumbness. He tells his brother, oh, yeah, I betrayed you.
Yeah.
He didn't use those exact words, but might as fucking well have.
Promise you.
I didn't know. There was something in it for me. Oh, that makes it better.
Oh, well, that's fine. The family, it's nothing.
Hey, Michael, promise you won't be mad.
Yeah.
But before I tell you, I'm going to tell you something.
I was going to have my own family that never got anything done.
God, can you imagine the Fredo Corleone family?
The gang that couldn't steal straight? Yeah.
All it is Fredo having sex with cocktail waitresses. Mm-hmm.
We're not making any money at this. It's fine.
When his wife was dancing with Connie's man at that fucking thing. Oh. And when she mouthed off to him, it was just like, Michael, you could see Michael like, okay, so we're going to kill her. No, we can't.
That's how we handle things.
Hey, we can kill her, right?
I'm not going to change the light bulb and have it killed.
This girl, she has no family. No one's going to miss her. Like, Tom Hayden has such a detachedness that comes with him, too. He's not near Michael.
Mm-mm.
But
it's very more of a, much more rather, of a workmanlike. Like, well, I'm punching the clock.
Well, people don't
He didn't seem as connected to the family anymore now that Vito was gone.
Yeah. No, when he goes in there, Senator, this girl has no family, no friends.
Yeah.
No one knows she even exists. No, it would be like she never existed.
Mm-hmm.
Without so much as even, you know, shaking his hands.
Now, I think they planted that girl there.
Of course.
I've done my research, guys. No. I have this theory.
No,
have this theory.
Wait. You mean... Hold on. You mean in the Corleone-controlled brothel where the senator that they needed to have leverage on somehow out of nowhere ended up waking up in a room with a bloody dead hooker in a brothel controlled by Fredo Corleone.
Yep.
From the Corleone family that needed leverage on this guy. Wait a minute. No, look, this doesn't add up at all.
These connections are tenuous at best.
Yeah,
but
at best.
All I'm saying is the Raven might have been Lenore.
Nevermore. It's fascinating when you see it, but yeah, you're right. Hayden's connection to the family
was part Vito, part Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny was gone, and he clung to Vito. And Vito clung to him because there was that connection there. It's like, why don't you tell me what everyone in this house can't?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw them come together in that instance.
Yeah.
Beautifully. But once those two were gone, and all that was left was Michael's just cold,
get it
hard-hearted,
done.
Get this shit done. If we have to fucking kill someone, so be it. That is, I mean, shit. What does he have? He realizes that he's connected to a family that doesn't have any love in it. And whatever could be said about Vito, no matter what Fredo did, Vito ain't punching that ticket. No matter what Jimco did.
No, Fredo is...
It's Fredo.
It's I mean, that's his explanation.
Well, like, have you seen Analyze This?
No.
There's a moment where Billy Crystal describes having
Nor analyze that.
Oh, yeah. Well. Hey, it's Paul Zidi, the mobster. Oh, really? What's that? Is that like me saying, oh, look, it's so-and-so, the hot-on? Billy Crystal is describing having a dream to De Niro, where he's like, you know, I had a dream, it was from The Godfather, this happened, and you were holding him saying, Papa, Papa. And De Niro's like, in your dream I was Fredo? Yeah. I don't think so. and that's where it was left. And it's one of those things where it becomes short. It's like, wait. You see me as Fredo? Fuck you. Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. You know, it's in any there is no relationship that you can have where you can be like, if we were to say right now, having seen it, like, yeah, VJ, you're like the Fredo of the film thugs. You'd be like, what?
I can record things. I'm smart.
Sir, I'm smart.
I invited you into my house.
I'm not stupid. Not like everyone thinks. I'm smart.
I want respect. That other podcast said there was something in it for me.
Sir, I invited you into my home.
I invited you into my heart.
VJ, you're a fellow podcaster and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the podcast again.
Ever.
You see, you have to see Goodfellas for the rest of my line on that to make sense. Because the first audio clip I ever put together, I've got to find it. But it starts out with, Fredo, you're my older brother and I love you. But don't ever take
sides. You are the motherfucking Antichrist!
That was a rewrite.
I fucked up. God damn it. Yeah. It's Fredo.
That was in Goldenrod.
My first ever edit together was, Fredo, you're my older brother and I love you, but don't ever take sides with anyone against a family again. Ever.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Because once you watch Goodfellas, there will never be an insult you can throw on someone that quite levels. Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
No.
It is the great, like, when you see it, you're like, oh my God. That is the greatest. You know what? Fuck you in your ear. In the other ear, fuck your mother, and get the shit out of here because I'm not wasting my time talking to you anymore. That's what get your fucking shine box means. And that, honestly, every time Fredo says something, you get this vibe that someone wants to look at me like, it's adorable, go get your fucking shine box. My shoes, I can't see myself in them. So could you get on that, Fredo? Please.
Pretty much.
And Fredo be like, but I can do more than that. I'm smart. I'm not like everyone says.
You know, but as an actor, it's got to be really difficult to play a character that everyone is supposed to hate. You know, like Farva.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you look at the way Fredo's played, is there any character in that movie that you can emotionally connect with more clearly than Fredo?
No, he's clearly meant to elicit a certain amount of emotion.
Yeah, and, he's the one that you look at. It's like, he's not cold-blooded. Yeah. He has a heart above everything else.
Yeah.
He's weak.
Look how he treats his nephew.
And he's ambitious, but not in like the cutthroat way.
He doesn't even know what...
He has ambition, but doesn't know what to do with it.
He chase after that tire of ambition like a dog chasing a car.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what to do with it when he got his hands on it. He's like, that was something for me. What would that be?
I guess less about ambition as he wanted something.
He just wanted to be respected because he felt, like you said, stepped over.
Because he was.
Because he was stepped over because you can't handle it.
He wasn't the
Everyone
right
knows
man
you can't handle it.
Yeah.
You know you can't handle
and
it.
And that's the worst part of it.
Yeah, that's why he's falling apart in the chair. And his performance is so good because he's sitting there lying to Michael and himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's just destroyed.
If you look at it, in no way did Vito want Sonny to take over. And it's a little clear in the book, Sonny is not the right man for the job. He's not. It is clear as fucking day from the word go. Michael is the kid to take over.
At this point, yeah.
Period. I mean, no, even from the beginning. I maintain from the beginning.
Before he was
Godfather
in the family
1,
business, you're saying?
Yeah, before he was in the family business, Michael had the mentality. Because if you look at it, Sonny was too hot-headed, impulsive, violent, ready to jump to just that extreme too quickly. Right.
Did they show that? Did they explain that more in the book?
Because they talk.
Because in the movie, you get the impression during that speech in the garden that Vito wanted him to go on to be, yes, still in the family, but a legitimate face of the family.
But he thought he was the one who could take the family there because they talked about the whole thing where it's like, I want you to act like a fucking man.
Yeah.
That he was like, had I done that to Sonny, Sonny would have been patching this. He's like, if I'd done it to Michael, he just would have stared through me.
Yeah.
It would have crushed him, but I never would have known. And in that instance, and if you think about it, just from him telling, you know, either your brains or your signature on this contract, it showed that Michael had it together. Mm-hmm. He was tight. He was in control. And he knew that he didn't have to display his emotions. He was a fucking tight little bunzhole, yo. To quote, to paraphrase Workaholics, he was tight butthole, but he had his shit together and wasn't going to tilt his hand just to do it.
Right.
Sonny immediately wants you to know, fuck you, I'm in control. Fuck you in the ear, fuck you in the other ear. I don't got to listen to your shit. You ain't got this. Michael was like, we have to kill this guy. I'm the one who can do it. Send me in. And he admitted out, oh, you want to do this? Because it's like, no, I don't want to do it out of revenge because he busted my face up. He needs to go. And from a practical business standpoint, I am the only one who can do it. And if you look at it, Michael died in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he came back and tried to put his world together.
No, I'm sorry.
Michael died in Italy. And coming back was
hot
just...
Hot wife, no.
Yeah, hot wife is gone.
Hot wife get blown up, you come back from Sicily with the vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in a number of movies.
Wives in Sicily get blown up?
Well, just hot wives in general.
Oh.
Sicily is a hotbed of exploding wives.
That's true.
It always has been. I mean, that's the motto of Sicily is leaving the world in blowed up wives since 18 explosives were invented. Which is a year, apparently.
Alfred Nobel did his job.
Alfred Nobel showed up and said, I notice an abundance of wives in this country. I have something that'll take the edge off. And next thing you know, wives were blowing up left, right, and center.
It's just a way of life.
It was a travesty, VJ. Come on.
Different people, different customs.
We're talking about women dying.
Moral relativism,
I don't see
really.
Humor in this, dick. I said good day, sir. But seeing the descent of Michael, where he went from in 5 years we're going to be legit, to where at the end of the second one, yeah, I do not see a man who cares if they ever go legit.
No.
He has in that whole, you know, if a man wins the world and loses his soul, he had abandoned.
Profit a man if he wins the world but loses his soul. Yeah.
He had abandoned any pretext towards having a soul. He was like, this is who
this
I've
was
be,
his,
and I'm done.
This was his Macbeth moment where he's killed a few people in his way, and now he's like, you know, while we're at it, there's those two kids up there we've got in the tower.
Yeah.
Let's take them out too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when even his henchmen are like,
oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
We have back to the wrong horse here.
We'll get right on that.
Holy shit.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What hath we wrought?
It's the stuff of classic tragedy.
But if you look at it, had Sonny, the best thing, and God, this sounds weird to say, you know what the best thing to happen to the Corleone family was? Sonny getting killed.
Well, I mean, from the
perforated.
Yeah, perforated shit.
Bottom line, yeah, for sure.
Hold on. What do you mean? Look how they massacred my boy.
Excuse me, Don Vito. I don't think you're using that properly.
Yeah.
Look how they massacred my boy.
That's not what it means. That's not what massacre means.
It's okay.
Look how they massacred.
Maybe slaughter?
We shouldn't tell him decimation only means to take out 1/10.
No.
What are you talking about? Son, my boy.
Fucking kill this guy.
Son, my boy.
Right.
No. You know what the funny thing is? And I'm going to jump back with to the... is there a more iconic performance than Brando as Vito Corleone? I mean, because it's hit a point where... If you mention Marlon Brando,
That's it.
He is not Marlon Brando. He's Vito Corleone.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
In that level that he became with it. And what's great is he was, while doing an audition, they were talking about it, and he starts like slicking his hair back and grabbing cotton balls off the makeup table and shoving them in his mouth. He's like a bulldog. It's like, and literally created the whole thing with the jowls and all that just by and had the character immediately from that. And looking at the way it came together, could you imagine any part of that movie cast even a little differently? I mean, I honestly can't. The perfection of the, you know, just the balance of those characters. Because, I mean, hell, if you look at it, you've got the classic humors displayed there. You know, you've got Vito, and Michael and Vito, to me, were cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the flashbacks with Vito, Vito was vicious as shit from the word go. I mean,
and not in a way you'd really expect. You kind of think he would grow up away from the violence that basically got his family killed.
But immediately jumped into it. And this doesn't even have the cutscene where he goes back. There's a whole scene that was filmed, edited, and it's in the extras where he goes back to Corleone. He meets the guy who killed his father.
No,
and his mother.
No, that was in there.
It's still in there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if it was
Don Cheecho?
Yeah, Don Cheecho, because I was recording another podcast.
He gave him the old diagonal shiv.
And fucking cut the shit out of it. I'm abandando.
Yeah.
Oh.
Antonio Andolini.
Andolini.
This is for you.
Like, that was fucking masterful.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
He took my mother. He's in my mother. But if you look at it, that's how Michael would have done it.
Yeah.
You cool it. You wait for everyone to drop their guard. Everyone to be in a position where you can get away with it. I mean, shit, he had Hyman Roth killed while in federal custody at an airport.
Yeah.
Even back in those days, the fucking brass, Richardson.
Oswald style.
Exactly.
Oswald style. The fucking brass that shit took. Now let's talk.
Although that guy, he turned around and see if anyone was after him for a while.
Well, yeah.
If he kept running, he probably would have made it.
That was back in the 70s when that's what people did. Yeah. Now, let's talk Hyman Roth, because this is a performance that Clarkson and I have talked about. And I want to get, as you know, you represent the great unwashed. And not because you're Indian.
I was about to ask.
Because that would be racist.
That's racist.
So no, that's not what I'm saying, VJ. As someone who's never taken acting classes or gone through the whole theater rigmarole as Clarkson and I have.
Oh, I was in high school theater, but it's not really the same.
Yeah, it's not.
It really isn't.
It's not. Because in high school theater, it's not as much bullshit.
Yeah, it's much more about competition.
I'm an actor.
Read these lines. Do your make believe better than they do. And
yeah, then you get
medals.
To college. It's like
you don't really get into motivation.
No, in college, it's like I want you to walk across stage like you're someone who just found out that they won the lottery. Go. Okay, now I want you to walk across the stage. Like someone who just dropped their bus fare. Go. All right, now everyone get on stage, and we're going to do vocal warm-ups. I want you to say, strawberries. Get your fresh strawberries. How many times did we have to do that?
A lot.
Clarkson and I standing next to each other like, God damn it.
Give it a couple of semesters to that, and you're like, I'd like to change my major, please.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots. Peas and carrots. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb.
You need New York.
I like to eat 8 apples and bananas. Oh, no, no,
then
no.
You realize someone, maybe not yourself, is paying for this crap.
Yeah.
Find your feather.
Find your feather. No, no, the 8 apples and bananas, you want to talk about the most patronizing bullshit. You have to run through vowel sounds. A lake to 8 apples and bananas. E leak to eat apples and bananas. I like tie eight apples. Yeah.
Oh, that is such bullshit.
And you would literally do that for 90 minutes in one class because a professor got drunk the night before and didn't feel like coming up with what to tell you.
Look,
to
do. Line up.
Yeah.
Which one of you here can enunciate? You. All right, you. You. Good. The rest of you, fuck right off.
Yeah, get the fuck
you're
out.
You're not going to go anywhere. No, 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 yeah. No. No. Like, you're born to be what you are. You can do a little.
A failure?
Like, I remember you but talking no about what's good. Like, where you'd walk into a class and it's like, okay, we need you to relate to an object. And you'd be like, I've got a Zippo lighter, so. Okay, just get off the fucking stage, damn it. Because you realize there are some people who need that and some people who don't. What I love about Strasburg as Hyman Roth is I've always had this problem where people seem to correlate quantity with quality when it comes to acting. And that means, oh no, you've got to play a guy who's got autistic and can't use 3 fingers on his right hand and has a limp because he's missing 1 toe on his left foot. Go.
His motivation? He hasn't won.
His motivation, his inspiration, me.
Yeah.
And go. And people see all this showy bullshit. It's Tropic Thunder. It's going full retard. Right. How much can you pour into it? Lee Strasberg is Hyman Roth. And that, like, Clarkson and I both get giddy at the same few moments in it because it is the most understated con performance that, like, when he went to meet him and his wife's like, would you like a tuna fish sandwich? And he goes, yeah, have a seat. I like I enjoy watching football in the afternoon. Yeah, baseball too. But there's something about that line where he says that, and honestly, your thought is, kind of do too. Shit, yeah. And
maybe I am Hyman Roth.
Immediately, he becomes a real person.
There's a little of
Hyman. I'm a Jewish gangster. Jewish
gangster.
There's a little bit of Hyman in all of us.
Well.
Oh, wait.
Come on, let's clean it up, PJ. Really?
There's no place for this.
Back to the bathroom.
Well.
the cake scene. Make sure everyone gets to see the cake before you cut it.
As he's divvying out the real cake.
Everything, yeah. And then they bring him a piece, and he just looks at it and says,
smaller piece.
Smaller piece.
I want everyone to enjoy their cake. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one line. Yeah. You can just say that and be done with it. Mm-hmm. Want everyone to enjoy their cake, so enjoy.
Enjoy.
I'm telling you, there's so many fucking high spots in this movie, just in acting. Yeah. It's like the fucking Master of Puppets of movies.
Really
so
is.
Much.
It's like what,
little shots, little turns of phrase, little pieces that are just, and it's awesome.
And the key word right there is little.
Yeah.
The performances are all so restrained and real. I mean, because this is before you get the Pacino,
what
do you are? What are you looking at now, boy? Like, when did he become a racist Southern sheriff?
I don't know, but
I'm Bad Peppuccino.
Because really, that's Steven Seagal's role.
That's right.
Where mom at?
As a lifelong practitioner of the martial arts.
As a lifer, I need to play the blues and cut someone's thumb off.
I need to have some songs from the Crystal Palace.
Mason Storm.
Oh, now, lollipop.
That really happens out there, people. Look for that record. Songs from the Crystal Palace. Steven Seagal's record. You heard me.
Oh, yeah.
As you have spit takes across the land.
And he does a cover of Lollipop that is...
He does.
Is it?
We're not making this shit up.
What's the word we're looking for in that? Calypso?
I don't know. What's...
I think calypso is the word to describe that. I could be wrong. I am... not really what one would call worldly when it comes to music.
Not exactly Calypso Louis Farrakhan's kind of Calypso. But it's pretty close. Yes, Louis Farrakhan was a Calypso artist. For anyone out there who didn't know
he was
that.
Known as Handsome Lou.
What was the lyrical content?
I love this. Ma.
Hold on.
Get Whitey.
So it's about the same.
Yeah.
Oh, it really, dude, it like you have no goddamn idea. Oh, songs from the Crystal Cave.
Hold on. Cave.
It's songs from the, hold on.
I thought it was Power. You see me say, my girl lollipop. My girl lollipop.
Is he saying kill white people?
You make my heart go giddy up.
See, yeah. Now all you have to do is sign that, and then you can kill yourselves. You can use that as your suicide note.
It sounded like he was also saying kill white people.
Yeah. And well, then you've got...
Well, if you're a white person.
That is another song from Songs from the Crystal Cave.
Wow. Cave.
By
Cave.
Esteban Siegel. God. What brought us on to talking about Steven Seagal? Wait, more to the point.
Race the Southern Sheriff.
Why weren't we talking about Steven Seagal before? How? Here's a question I'm posing to everyone.
That's what this show's
How
built on.
Would Steven Seagal have made the Godfather movies better?
We're Fredo Wet. We're Fredo Wet.
We're Fredo Wet. We're Fredo Wet. Fredo, I'm going to have to break your arm in four places, and I'm just going to use my pinky.
Yeah.
I've shown you the Steven Seagal cartoon where he gets the Taco Bell. Yeah. Rips the guy's spine out.
I want you to shut the fuck up and give me a goddamn refund.
Wait, hold on.
Sticks.
One more time, VJ.
I want you to shut the fuck up and give me a goddamn refund.
There it is. That's the
magic spot.
I wasn't
squinting enough, though.
Yeah.
Your squint played on the radio. Yeah.
As long as it came through the audio. And when's the last time we've actually sat down and gotten drunk and watched a Steven Seagal movie? It's been forever.
Fuck,
it's been
six years. Yeah. Since that time, we went to the Blockbuster on...
7 years, probably.
Yeah, Blockbuster on... What the fuck is that street called? The Drag. Mm. And I got so... That was back when I was living in the concerning apartment.
Right, and I was on 51st.
And my whole life... Because I could literally drive from my place to VJ's in what? 2 minutes?
If that.
If there was traffic, it would take me 90 seconds. And so it was like I'd walk there and, drink a lot. A lot. That was back in my day when it was like I'd buy, to quote Joe's Garage, a couple of quarts of beer made it so the intonation wouldn't hurt your ear.
Right.
I would drink a couple of quarts of beer to hit my baseline. And then that was the time when somebody was like, oh, yeah, if we go to this bar across the street, we can get a pitcher of margaritas for $5. I'm like, let's go. And we get there, and I'm like, we'll get a pitcher. I'm like, yeah, I'll take a pitcher, too. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, I thought we were all ordering one. And people were like, well, no, we were going to share. I was like,
share?
Can I get a straw in that pitcher? And everyone was like, oh, shit. This is next level, isn't it? I've gotten better. We'll just say that. But... Back to Godfather. Let us off. Where margaritas at? Where the margaritas at? Yo. I need some nachos.
There are plenty of podcasts out there that discuss the Godfather.
Yeah.
But none that segue into margaritas and Steven Seagal. And if they do, by some strange turn of events, happen to swerve into Steven Seagal and margarita territory, they don't swerve into that territory and then play that fucking nightmare of a song.
I don't think fair use should allow us to play it again.
Yeah.
What?
Please.
What? You don't think what?
Fair use.
Stop it.
No.
That's what we bring you here at the Film
That's
Thugs.
What you get here that you don't get anywhere else.
And you know what it costs you? Nothing.
Nothing. Not a cent. We're not even going to push you to donate.
No, we're not.
Not even.
Because we got passion, baby.
Willy,
you do what you love, and the money follows.
Exactly.
That's right. Well,
But here's the thing.
Apparently, it's taking the fucking slow train.
Here we go. I'm gonna do. Ready? Hold on. Wait. And now it's time for hacky 1990s stand-up theater. You know, I was wondering what it would be like if the Godfather had Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Brandon Lee.
Fire down below.
I think it might go a little something like this. I have no idea. Got it.
You can't set that up and not deliver.
No, he can. It's called alternative comedy.
I believe in America is where I made my fortune. I am Cajun from Louisiana, and I live in New York.
See, now it's 90s hacky stand-up. Before, it was alternative comedy. He was being edgy.
Slam poetry.
He could probably do something with a guitar, perhaps.
Now you come to my house and you don't ask me for a cup of coffee. You don't want to
draw pictures on
there.
An easel.
Yeah.
You don't want to either.
He's fallen to a Tom Waits hole.
I would like you to kill the man who assaulted my daughter. Took my mama. And
you want me to? You
see, yes.
Majestic 12 took my mother prisoner.
Oh, man. God. Here's the thing. For anyone who's listening at this point who's like, could you imagine us after another 2.5 hours of drinking and movie watching coming back on and being like, hey, so Goodfellas is a movie. And it lost a bunch of Oscars to Dances with Wolves.
Garcetti's fucking awesome, dude.
And it lost a bunch of Oscars to, quote, Adam from the UK, to liberal white guilt. Direct fucking quote. God, that hurt. Bottom line, though, I think what we're getting at here, Steven Seagal's Vito Corleone would have made this the greatest film ever made.
He would have still been soft-spoken, which is an important part of the character.
What are you talking about, you son of a bitch? Wait, you want me to put cotton balls in my mouth? No.
That's not happening.
It's not happening. I'm a lifelong practitioner of the martial arts. I'll make my gums puff out using my mind. Ancient secrets of the Japanese.
Dragon silk shirts, ponytail. That's what's happening.
I'll wear my LSU pimp kimono.
Aikido.
Aikido. Why is it that anyone who does martial arts who uses the exact pronunciation, the genuine, authentic pronunciation, comes off so much less authentic? If someone's like, oh, yes, I'd love to teach your kid karate. Would you trust that more? Oh, yes, I would love for your child to enter my dojo and learn karate. You'd be like, yeah, I don't fucking think so, buddy. We're going down the street to the Y.
Hey.
My husband teaches karate, and I'm making a spaghetti.
I mean, a linguine.
Yeah.
The Cheshire boobs.
I think that's a better, more concise nickname.
Cheshire boobs?
Yeah. It gives you everything you need to know in
Her
one
grandfather
shot.
Released some of the best movies. What the? That was a dog channeling. Barley's like,
he's got the tambourine on.
Why are you assholes still talking? Lollipop. That is just going to be my default anytime that I feel like, you know what? This show.
It's going to be your Walker Texas Ranger lever.
Yeah. I was like, really? It's an interesting idea.
You just can't set up the pull because there's no visual element.
The thing is, people are being robbed of the genius that is my dance. To that.
Well, that's true.
It looks like a white guy having a stroke off rhythm.
And being electrocuted on a tilt-a-whirl.
On a tilt-a-whirl. While children laugh at him.
And point.
And point go, oh, look at that dick. Mom.
I think you mean peepee head.
Why is... No. For this one,
that
kids language
dick is on fire.
Like, Mommy, why is that dick quivering on that dance floor, because I go to clubs that apparently let children. Yeah, quiver on the floor. Yes, that's my Gloria Estefan, which oddly better than my Brando as Corleone.
Well,
so I think the vital question at this moment, VJ, as a first time, as an initiate, which movie do you think is a better film, Godfather One or Godfather Two?
That was just.
I am pushing for right now, at this moment, I want you to act like a man and tell me which movie do you think is better, Godfather 1 or Godfather 2?
I like the Godfather 2 because of De Niro more than anything else.
De Niro, like the whole De Niro, there is a an edit that was done on television that's in chronological. It starts and then, you know, goes all the way through.
Because TV people are dummies.
Yeah.
Which is true.
I think that the breakup works so much better. And God, you're right. What De Niro brings to Corleone, I mean, if you think about it, it's the first time that two actors have ever received Oscars for playing the same role.
Yep.
I mean, because he won it 2 years after Brando did for Best Supporting as Vito. But his Vito was so... It's weird because you see who Vito becomes.
And it explains Michael better.
Yeah.
Even more than it explains Vito.
Yeah, better. It really does. Yeah. What's interesting, though, with Gengo, how they go through all that shit. Because Gengo is the guy that they go to the theater with. And all of the shit was actually, like, Gengo was the front for everything. Gengo Abandando. And they cut it out of the first movie. This I know they cut out, where Vito goes to visit Genko when Genko's old and dying. And Genko says to him, he's like, I want you to be here with me when I die because I want God to see you with me so that he would be afraid not to let me into heaven. If you're by my side, God himself... Barley, stop licking the bread! Sorry, I just had to yell at the dog. If you're with me, and the I love that dog.
He just pretends like nothing's going on. Like, well, I wasn't doing shit.
I'm looking at the bread. Shit. Wait, there's bread in the kitchen? Shit. But yeah, he said, if God sees you with me, then God himself will be too afraid to keep me from heaven.
Why was that missing?
I don't know. Well, it's one of those things where it's like, as cool a scene as it is, imagine what it would do to the pacing of that movie as a whole. Because it's so delicately balanced with how everything goes.
Sure.
Anything that alters that.
Like when they talk about Vito's reputation and the landlord comes back, you don't see him asking other people.
Yeah.
You just see him come back.
You just see him come back like, hey, we're all right here. We're good. But you see more of Michael in early Vito than you see old Vito in early Vito.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, if Sonny had been offered that food after he lost his job, Sonny might have taken it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fredo definitely would have. Would Michael have?
No.
Michael wouldn't have even considered it. Michael wouldn't have even no. Thank you, but no. I appreciate it, but I don't need it. And it's fascinating to see that. And you're right. You put it like it's cool hearing somebody who hasn't had the years of analysis and bullshit that goes along with it to point that out and go, you know, it shed more light on Michael than on V. Like, it really fucking did. And it opens the whole world up. It lets the world breathe so much better. I love that. Yeah, it's a fascinating film. Man, so what do you think really stood out of all the movies? And this is, again, immediately on top of it, so we're just looking for gut reaction. What scene do you think stood out the most as being, like, what you would call the best sequence in it?
I think you already called it out, so it's already colored my perception, but the baptism in the first movie.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
If you hadn't said it, I don't know exactly what I picked, but just the setup and the timing of the cuts.
As much as I love that with the editing, but when Vito's following the Don on the rooftop.
Oh, Finucci.
When he's following Finucci from the rooftop, that is so great because it shows not just the calculation, but how much smarter Vito is. Because it is set up right off the bat. I'm smarter than you, and that's how I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
Because I'm smarter than you are.
But it almost, because he killed him so soon after that, it made me wonder why he even bothered to talk to him about the $100, you know, reducing the protection fee.
Yeah.
Like, why even, I mean, yeah, he doesn't know his name, and yet he takes the money.
Yeah.
On someone else's, I don't even know if he knows it's on someone else's behalf he's taking the money, except that he says, this is less than what I asked for.
Yeah.
So unless but there's some other channel, somebody told him they'd be, you know.
As I saw it, that was Vito saying, Because that to me was so consistent with Vito, because it was him saying, I'm giving you one last.
Sure.
Here's your one chance. I'm going to come to you as a man with respect.
Right.
I'm going to show you everything that you need. And if you can't be human, you're the fuck out.
And he knew he wasn't going to be. Otherwise, yeah. He wouldn't have had that gun planted on the roof.
Yeah.
Of course, he took the money anyway, but that wasn't because he was we'll play your game.
It was a subtle just, old world.
This is what I'll take.
An old world way of kind of calling a shot.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, oh, okay.
Has anyone ever done a better job of recreating New York in a different time period than this?
No.
I mean, and what's weird about it is, for as massive a city as New York is, it is really a collection of very small neighborhoods that don't intersect.
Right.
You know, you master two blocks, you're down. I mean, you're down. Beyond that, it's because, I mean, like, if you look at The Wire, all of The Wire took place within, what, a quarter mile radius?
Yeah.
You step out of that.
Except when you had the separate districts.
Exactly,
for Amsterdam and the other one.
Yeah, but even with that, Amsterdam was so tightly connected to the West End.
Yeah.
But for all of it, you know, you'd get glances every once in a while, you know, Prop Joe or one of the other guys. But by and large, it was that little area.
I mean, a lot of people had no idea what was going on outside.
Exactly, yeah. And boy, the way that Coppola, God, I miss that Coppola. I really do. I mean, he's done some shit that's good. Like, I think Rainmaker is a fantastic movie. But, man, he really hasn't nailed it. His wine and his pasta sauce is fucking delicious. But he just hasn't had this since then. It's that young man fire that it just isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And not to insult, because I think he can still do it. But let's be honest, it's not there the way it was before.
Right.
So.
Get all this and. Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
You're good.
Which is all right.
Yeah.
You know? So, do we have anything else that needs to be said about the Godfather movies?
Those movies have great watchability.
They are watchable. Imminently watchable. All right. So, to wrap up here, check us out at thefilmthugs.com. Hopefully, I'll be completing my Rocky article soon and moving on to something else. But, you know, you can never tell with me. I write as my whims carry me. Join us on the Facebook. We haven't had enough new members join for a while. Check us out on Twitter as well. iTunes reviews. We need reviews on iTunes. We got to know what you guys think. Come on, baby. It ain't that hard.
Come on.
I'm over there right now.
Mean I have a drinking problem?
If you would like to talk to us, you can either go on Skype to the_film_thugs, and we can get a message that way. Or if you're within the U.S., area code 512-666-RANT will get us a voicemail as well. And we'll play it on here and talk about what you have to say. And we won't insult you unless you're a blithering fucking moron. Also, you know how you like to go to Amazon.com to buy shit? VJ, you know what that's like, right?
I do.
Buying shit.
Yeah, I do too. You know what a great way to do it is? Go to the Film Thugs and click on one of our links to take you over to Amazon. Here's the beauty of it. You know how much extra it costs a person to do that?
I know.
How much?
Zero.
Not one thin penny more. It costs you nothing, but it lets us wet our beak a little bit. Why shouldn't I wet my beak? It helps us pay for everything that you love so much. You don't want to do it? Don't do it. Just enjoy our shit for free and tell yourself you deserve it.
Because you do, chocolate.
You do. Otherwise,
ain't going to pay for itself.
Yeah. Help keep this shit afloat. Because, I mean, we'll keep doing it because we love doing it. But if you want to help out, help out. If not,
donate $1,000.
Yeah. Do it now. Obey my dog.
Yeah.
And those are the ways to get in touch with it. Is there anything that I'm leaving off from that?
Donate $1,000.
Do you remember back in the day when it was just like, check us out at thefilmthugs.com or email us? And now it's just all of this shit.
I said donate $1,000.
Yeah. Comply.
Comply. Exterminate. So that being said, I think we're good here. Do you?
We are good.
Anything else to say?
Super good.
All right, cool. So join us next week when we'll be talking about God knows what. And remember, if someone hates you for no reason,
give that motherfucker a reason.